I had a vague notion that I really needed to get promotion pretty quick. The wages weren't very good. So I applied for the job at Armley Canal Road, which was a Class 2. Waterloo Colliery was a Class 3. I think in those days the classification went something like the lowest was Class 4, which might well be something like a crossing keeper or a porter signalman. And then you went Class 3, Class 2, Class 1, Special Class A, Special Class B, Special Class C. Class 3 at Waterloo was the same as a Class 2 for promotion purposes, but the attraction was the one at Armley Canal Road only had 2 shifts instead of 3. You bear in mind now I'm approaching 19, 20 years old. All my mates have been out at night and everything else. Well, I've been working nights and shifts, and you get a bit fed up of it, really. So I thought, in the first instance, a move up in classification and no nights. Money wasn't really a problem then. It was a step in the right direction. But I was only at Armley Canal Road about 6 months. What they'd failed to tell me when I put in for the box was that it had a limited life because there was a re-signalling programme taking place in Leeds and it would be gone.
That's ironic that you say that, because Waterloo survived for another 10 years or so.
That's right, yeah. And so I was made redundant at Armley Canal Road, number one. And I think that was in 1967.
And couldn't you get another job on the railway somewhere?
Yeah, they offered me various jobs, but they were like carriage cleaners, foreman carriage cleaner or a carriage cleaner at Neverley, I think. And there was a signal box on offer at Morley. And I think there was one at Beeston Junction, and I applied for those. And they said, no, you can't have those, because there was a lot of signalmen being made redundant at the same time. What you're going to have to do, you're going to have to go down the West Riding somewhere at Moorhouse Junction and all these places. And I said, no, I think so. I'll try something else. And I became a milkman for Leeds Co-op. And that's when I bumped into David Sawyer. David had left because he couldn't afford to be a signalman. He was a young man with a family. He couldn't afford to be a signalman, whether he liked the job or not. And then I went back to National Carriers in 1970 as a lorry driver. I'd joined the TA, passed my driving test in the Territorial Army, and I got a job at National Carriers in 1970. And I stayed there until it was private. Well, it was subject to a management buyout. And, of course, Hunslet Lane in its own right was a huge railway station. There was a big passenger station there at one time. When you look at the old maps...
Hunslet Lane's where you worked then?
Hunslet Lane, yeah. That's now the Crown Point Shopping Centre. If you look at that shopping centre now, you can't realise that there was a huge goods terminal there and a bonded warehouse and a turntable. There was a railway turntable in the yard to turn engines round.
So you worked for National Carriers from Hunslet Lane, driving
yeah.
a lorry?
Yeah.
Were trains still bringing goods in and out of
yes.
Hunslet Lane?
Oh, yes, certainly, yeah. It was rail connected, and the goods came in by goods train. It was a terminal station, so they shunted the goods trains in and unloaded them, and of course you distributed the stuff by road, and the what? Stuff went out by rail as well.
And what kind of lorry did you drive?
The first one was a Scammel, a three-wheeler fibreglass body thing, and then variously as you went on, they got Dodges and Fords and all sorts of stuff. By road, it became predominantly a road operation.
And where did you deliver to?
Well, funnily enough, the first regular job I had was delivering around Woodlesford. You know the Gibbs brothers. One of them used to deliver around Rothwell and one round Woodlesford. And I liked the area. I remember going home the first time I went home as a signalman when I was on nights on the scooter in the middle of summer. There was no one around. Early Sunday morning, the sun had come up. And I went round the old part of Oulton, and it was a different world. All those old cottages and lovely part of the world, I thought, for me as a Middleton lad. So what happened about 1972, it became necessary to hold a heavy goods licence. Now, before then, there wasn't any heavy goods licence. It was just an ordinary licence. The railway, of course, had their own classifications, because if you needed to move up to drive a heavier vehicle, you had to undergo a test. So I suppose, in theory, anybody who'd driven on the railways could have 3 or 4 driving licences to operate 3 or 4 different kinds of vehicle. But nationally, I think it was about 1971, they decided that anyone driving a heavy goods vehicle had to have a heavy goods licence. Now, those that had habitually driven a heavy goods vehicle got the licence automatically, but because it was a relatively new thing on national carriers, everybody had to go to the driving school, because they had their own driving school, the British Railways, to undergo tuition to pass this test and pass the test to get the heavy goods licence. And it was unfortunate that there were people like the two Gibbs brothers and quite a few more of them that was by that time getting into the 60s that didn't pass the test. And so I don't know what really happened to the Gibbs brothers. I remember them. I remember them as being two nice guys. They were brothers, easygoing. But for some reason or another, they didn't pass the test. But I can't remember whether they went to work in the warehouse or whether they left, whether they were made redundant. A lot of them I know were bitter because a lot of them had been in the army during the war and had driven tanks and all this kind of... And, of course, it, for somebody to say you're not fit to drive, it didn't go down very well. But we're all, as you get older, your reactions are slower and things. And, of course, we're talking about a time when they were operating in Woodlesford, there was no motorways. And the whole scenario had changed of vehicles, methods of driving, motorways, all the rest of it, you know. But anyway, I got the job of delivering round Woodlesford and another guy got the job delivering round Rothwell. I assume at one time, trains used to stop at Woodlesford and drop the parcels off and they used to be delivered from there because there was still a lot of that around, like at Garforth. So you would start off from Hunslet Lane with the goods side to be delivered, for instance, into the brewery, and then you would call at the railway station and pick up the passenger traffic, the parcels, the personal stuff. They were still doing that at Garforth for a long, long time, but there came a time when it stopped at Woodlesford and the trains proceeded into Leeds City Station and the parcels were unloaded there. So you would start off from Hunslet Lane with a certain amount of goods in the back for places like the brewery and there was a paintworks down there, I remember, at that time. Can't remember the name of it, but we used to do quite a lot in and out of the paintworks. And then you'd have to go around to Leeds City Station and collect all the parcels for Woodlesford and Oulton, I did, and Swillington. And then you would deliver from that on that basis.
And how long did you do that for?
Quite some time. But, of course, they're always subject to scrutiny, how much work you're doing. And if the work falls off, then they reorganise all the rounds until they make them bigger, usually. And then I moved on to doing it at Garforth. The same sort of thing at Garforth. And then Wetherby. And I was delivering around Wetherby and York when I left National Carriers for Freightliners in 1983. The one last thing I do remember is Mr. Swaby going to emigrate to Australia because I got this collection order this particular day when I was driving at National Carriers, and this must have been probably 1972 time or that era, and it was a collection from the station house at Woodlesford Station for Mr. Swaby. And when I arrived there, he was glad to see me, you know. He says, I'm emigrating, I'm going to Australia. I think he had a son in Australia. And he says, I'm just sort of saying my final goodbyes to the house and what have you. Because there was a guy moving into the house at the same time. And I think he was a divisional manager or something. And I put Mr. Swaby's personal belongings in the van. And he accompanied me down to the Leeds City Station, because he was forwarding this stuff on by and he was going to sort out all this stuff. So I took him down as a passenger in the wagon to Leeds City Station at the parcels to sort it out. And he told me that this guy who moved in had bought the house, that sold him the house. And I think he told me the house was sold for £2,400.
He must have been quite sad to be leaving.
Yes, he was sad. He was sad. He'd been there a long time. And as I say, he was a smashing fella. He was one of these guys. Nobody had a bad word to say about him. But I think a lot of station masters were in those days. They were almost paternal, I suppose you would say, when you were a young man. They're a different breed of manager now. I mean, you went to work on the railway. You knew what you had to do. You didn't need anybody to tell you what to do. So they tended to leave you alone. So they tended to be of a very friendly nature. And as I say, Mr. Swaby was a nice man. I remember him well.